Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Scott Dewey. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning.
Scott, we previously talked a bit about on one of Backyard and Beyond programs about retrieving freedom, and you are one of the leaders of that program. So just review with us the purpose of retrieving freedom.
Well, retrieving freedom really has a pretty specific mission to provide service dogs for disabled veterans, veterans of physical disabilities and post-traumatic stress, and children with autism, and try to increase the independence in their lives and get them out living again.
And I think, you know, we've seen a bit, I guess maybe some people don't pay attention to that, but I'm really interested in what animals and especially dogs can do for people. And it just seems like there is an increasing availability, but so much more an increasing need for these kinds of service dogs.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. I mean, a dog is really the only thing that we can, only living being, I guess to be more exact, that we can put with these individuals that can be with them 24 hours a day. You just can't do that with any other type of assistance.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a bit about where you get the dogs and kind of going through that dog's care and how you process all of that related to the dog.
Well, we get dogs on a variety of different ways, actually. Some are donated to the program through very qualified breeders with good genetics, and we've also started a breeding program.
Okay, and I wanted to just throw in there then that Dr. Fritz Beyer is one of those people who's donated a puppy who meets your criteria.
Yes, and that puppy right now is in the same program as any other puppies where we put them in a donor or foster home. The foster home actually raises the puppy for a good portion of its early life, socializes it, takes it into public, gets it to be a really good citizen and family member before the dog then comes into training with Retrieving Freedom. And we use college students at Wartburg College and special needs youth children from Bremwood schools and a variety of volunteers then to finish out training along with myself, the trainer at Retrieving Freedom, to place the dogs once they become about 2 years old.
And then is there a time when the person who's going to use this dog also receives training with the dog?
Yes, actually we're in the process right now of building a brand new facility up here in Waverly that was a capital campaign for the last year. And the roof's actually going on today.
Oh, exciting.
Exciting. Yeah, but what that facility is for is exactly what you just asked. We use about a 2 week to 3 week time frame of training and working specifically with the recipient of a dog. And then it'll also be used for follow-ups with those recipients through the lifetime of the dog that while it's in service.
It seems to me, Scott, that there's quite a difference in the need here. We're talking about adults, veterans, with maybe physical handicap, with PTSD, I probably didn't say that right. And then we're talking about children. Different size, different abilities. You have quite a job out there.
Well, it is, but actually, you know, when you're talking about the physical disabilities, yes, that's a different factor. But in the end, most of our guys or girls that are suffering from post-traumatic stress oftentimes have some physical disabilities, and the ones that have physical disabilities oftentimes have post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the support that these dogs give in their ability to not judge and give that unconditional love every day, and tasks related to those types of disabilities, it really fits right in quite well with children with autism as well, because the animal-assisted activities that help you through those learning curves work on both spectrums.
It looks like, seems like to me, you know, your basic purpose of a dog is that companionship, but they can do so much more.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be a service dog with public access, they're actually going to have to perform some tasks that those individuals can't do because of their disability. And oftentimes we get asked, you know, what is that? You know, we understand post-traumatic stress is flashbacks and anxiety and those kinds of things from combat-related situations with these veterans. But one good example I could tell you of a task would be to turn on a light switch and orientate the veteran in the middle of a nightmare at night, wake them up, get them out of bed, those are things that they cannot do themselves because of the disability, and that's what makes it a service dog more than just a companion dog.
It just continues to amaze me what you can train dogs to do. And I did watch and recommended people go to your website or the website that showed the CBS TV program and showed the dogs in action. As you said, turning on the light switch, opening the refrigerator door, getting out that bottle of water, it really does require that dog goes with that specific person.
Oh, yes.
So let's talk a little more about the training aspect. And we've talked about some things that need to be done. How do you teach a dog to do some of those things?
We use a lot of operant conditioning, actually, and it's just a theory based upon trying to change a behavior into a habit through a positive reinforcer.
Okay.
So it could be treats, it could be praise, it could be, you know, playing with a ball. But bottom line, what we're looking at doing is taking a behavior that the dog maybe doesn't know or is already doing and reward that enough to the point where they turn it into a habit. And then that becomes the new task that we want them to do.
Okay. How do you pick a dog? You know, somebody says, well, I have this great dog. I think it would do really well. What are some of the characteristics of a puppy, of a dog that you want to do this program?
Well, that's a very good question, because even when we do get those responses, and we battle this every day of the dispositions of the dogs to be able to be, you know, spot on day in, day out, being 10, 12 hours in a public setting. So really we need a dog that obviously is very smart, but yet laid back enough that they're not always worried about what they get to do next. They're very focused on their handlers, and their handler is, you know, their number one need, number one important factor that drives them throughout the day. So it takes a dog that is a really good dog at recognizing anxiety, recognizing facial expressions, recognizing, you know, the love that handler has for them. And that kind of ends up in a bond that you can't explain when you're trying to tell somebody, this is what I need for a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of have to try dogs, and as they work, we get more of the same.
So there may be a puppy who looks good, but actually may not be trainable.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, dogs get, well, we call it career changed on a regular basis, where you start them off young and you think it's going to be a great dog for a veteran in a wheelchair. And we find out that dog is a little too anxious, and we don't want them pulling a wheelchair because it's not a race. So that dog ends up getting a career change to maybe a companion dog for a veteran that doesn't have physical disability.
Okay. Now, from some of the information I saw, you are also now starting to work with children with diabetes?
Yeah, actually, we do that more out of the Mississippi location.
Okay.
But those dogs are actually recognizing blood sugar levels, high and low. So that it's pretty neat deal when you have a child that, you know, you're worried about sleeping overnight, and you get up every 3 hours to check the blood sugar. The dog's kind of a backup alarm, where they will alert you based upon the actual smell of the child coming out of either the saliva or the breath, according to where the blood sugar is at.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. So when you're talking about somebody having to get up every 3 hours, now we're talking about, obviously, the family of folks that are being assisted by this dog. You know, we think of, okay, service dog is for one person. Now we're talking about the family, but also we should talk about how the community benefits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the community benefits on several factors, above and beyond just what you just brought up there, and as far as, you know, a family being able to get out more into public and be able to go more places. That happens with diabetes, that happens with veterans, that happens with children with autism, where, you know, oftentimes they were spending more time at home because they couldn't get out into mm-hmm. public and feel safe, or feel the ability to be in a crowd, or the ability to wait in a grocery store line, or the ability to get the child through the grocery store. So the communities that are seeing these service dogs are definitely seeing the recipients in public more. But above and beyond that, we use a lot of community involvement projects to help train the dogs during the 2 years that they're here. So you might take a special needs youth child that, you know, is having a little trouble with respecting elders, and, you know, the grades aren't the best in school, and we kind of pair them up with a dog, help them train them, give them a purpose, allow them to meet the new recipient down the road, and, you know, kind of help try to turn their life around as well through the training process.
Okay, so just lots of great information that you've given us, Scott, and if people, again, want to know more, they could just search on their computer for Retrieving Freedom. And I mentioned, and I hope he doesn't mind this, that he could also visit with Dr. Beyer, because he could point you in the right direction. And you could use money as well as puppies.
Most definitely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Scott Dewey, who's one of the leaders for Retrieving Freedom. And until next time, let's just be in awe of all that dogs can do for us.